Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Here we go again with the gospel reading from the nearly always cryptic Gospel of John. And today we have a most curious series of events. First, the disciples are out in their boat fishing, but not during the daylight hours, at night. And then we hear about how they were dressed to fish. At least one of them was buck naked. And then when he recognized the risen Christ over on the shore, he put clothes on and jumped in the water to swim ashore. Now, I'm a country kid from Texas, and we swim in farm ponds all the time in the summer heat of Texas. But I have yet to run in the house and put more clothes on to go fishing. I don't know about you all. But so what's happening here in this gospel account, and why would John seem to want to share this account with us? Well, I know that Glenn and Tom share my fishing passion, and most of you know I love to fish, so this is one of my favorite biblical passions. And there's something so magnificent in standing on the banks or the rapidly running riffles of the river and casting your bug-like fly in order to mimic the real bugs all flying around. And there are usually some mountains nearby, and you can see bald eagles soar by, or maybe even a moose or two along the banks getting a drink from the river. But the type of fishing done by the disciples is decidedly less glamorous and less picturesque. These fishermen are tossing big, heavy, woven nets over the side of their boat and allowing those nets to drift well into the water. And when they think they've entered a zone where the fish may be, then they haul back the net and hope that they have, in fact, captured some fish in their net. And as we hear in today's gospel lesson, they're not having any luck in their fishing. And then they hear from the world's greatest fishing guide, Jesus. When my daughter and I fish the Henry's Fork of the Snake River, we use a fishing guide, and I've told you about him. And he teaches us and brings us into the best areas that are known to have fish lurking. And often we fish on a boat, and the guide would instruct us to place or cast our fly exactly to the place where the fish have been feeding. And so if we followed his directions and instructions, and if we were casting well enough, we might actually catch a few fish. And so we grew to rely on our favorite guide, Brandon, to help us catch fish. But one year, we decided to fish down near Jackson Hole. And since Brandon didn't guide down near Jackson Hole, we had to ask for a new fishing guide. And we arrived at the fly shop early the next morning and were assigned a guide for the next day. The first thing we noticed about this guide is he was a little tiny man. And a guide has to row a really heavy drift boat in often whitewater conditions and row to spots where the fish are feeding. So a little tiny guy worried us a little about his ability to row that great big boat with the two of us. And it requires great strength and skill to row across that rapidly moving water or water with cross currents and other water hazards. And so this young man didn't appear to us like the typical big, strong fishing guide. But we went along assuming that we'd be guided to some areas where the fish were in fact feeding. But then the next thing we noticed, the guide strapped on a back brace like he had a bad back. So we began to get a little bit worried. And so we started out, and usually you fish to the banks when you're in the middle or just off the banks, just as the disciples learned. One side is usually better than the other side. But this particular guide, when we asked the question, so which side of the boat should we fish on? He replied in a nonchalant way, oh, either side, fish wherever you want, doesn't matter. And so he spent the rest of our time allowing the boat to drift downstream, right down the middle of the river, never reaching the bank, so we could never cast to the banks. And so we had exactly the luck that those disciples had when they were left to their own decisions. No fish all day long. We obviously didn't have a fishing guide. And you know what? We all need a guide. We all need more than a fishing guide. We need a life guide. And the best guide for our lives is none other than the guide these disciples heard from, Jesus. Jesus knows where we need to cast our nets or our fly lines in life. Often we're so impatient, we don't want to allow Jesus to guide. We want to drift right down the middle of the river and cast wherever we want. We want to do it our way. We say the words each Sunday, and many of us do during the week, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then that other piece of it, "Thy will be done." Thy will be done. That really sounds as though we're praying for God through his beloved Son to be our guide. We're asking Christ to guide us in this river of life. How often we pray, "God, let me have this. God, can you please? God, can I? God, will you please?" Rarely do we just seek God's will in our own lives. How would we allow God to be our guide? We need to stop trying to be the boss of God and let God be the boss of us. We really need to let that expression be real, let go and let God. And rather than think we really know what's best, we need to rest into the idea that God will provide the job, the food, the healing, the future we're each to live into. Jane Patterson and John Lewis are professors at the Seminary of the Southwest, and they have considered this idea of Christian vocation and ministry and how we discern our call to ministry. They remind us that we are all called to be ministers and reminds us that each one of us is given talents by God. Some of us are really good at math. Some of us are really good at knitting. Some of us are really creative. Some of us can really work with other people. Some of us are the best mechanics, and some of us are really good at encouraging others. And we learn through school and experience how to hone our skills and talents. And we learn that we're talented because others encourage us along the way. For instance, our son Robert has shown great math skills for many years, and when he was in high school physics, he had a retired NASA physicist who was teaching high school physics at the time, and she encouraged Robert to pursue physics and continue to hone his skills in math and calculus. That poor kid was a family filled with lawyers, and so what did we know about math or physics or encouraging him to do more calculus? He never asked God to be a physicist, but God placed the encouragement right there when he needed it and where he needed it. I was encouraged to consider the priesthood by my sending parish, one of whom was in my small early group, Ann Hinton, by my sending parish in Belleville. They encouraged me. They urged me to go forward into the priesthood. And I'm sure each of you have had someone encourage you to hone your own skills. And so it is with Jesus that he shouts out to his friends in the boat, "Cast the net the other way!" And they listened and followed instructions and were wildly successful. So what can we do to hone our own God-given talents? How can we be ministers in our everyday lives? There's not one minister here today. Rather, every single one of us are ministers, and we're each called to ministry. So what is your ministry? Is yours a ministry of grandparenting, where you're present in the lives of your children and grandchildren? Or perhaps your ministry is to teach others, whether in school or in the corporate world. Or perhaps your ministry is writing, Many of you know we have a little writers group, and we encourage one another and help one another to become better writers. Jesus gives us all sorts of ways to become better people, to live into our ministries. We're to love one another. We're to care for the sick. We're to visit those in prison and care for the poor. Jesus is our life guide. And rather than think that we can row the boat and guide ourselves, we need to trust Jesus will give us the skills and we can hone them and we can then minister to one another in his name. And let us always remember, we are not the boss of God. God is the boss of us. Amen.